I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What is up, sucky daters? What a beautiful week it is. Jared is back in Los Angeles. I can feel his presence a measly 15 miles away from me. Easton is in studio in Burbank, which is maybe 20 miles away. I just feel the energy of good vibes pulsing through the Zoom screen right now. How are you guys?
We're just inching our way closer back together until one day we're reunited in studio once again.
Right. It's funny. We talked about it, or I think Easton and Mark mentioned it at the top of the podcast before we were recording. Jared was quarantining on the East Coast, waiting things out, waiting for things to get better. And yet he comes back to Los Angeles on what might be the worst day for the coronavirus.
Yeah, I just Ashley and I just figured we'd wait till Los Angeles became the epicenter of the virus before we decided to fly back into it, you know? Unbelievable. I know. We quarantined for 3.5 months over on the East Coast, planning on going back to the West Coast, and by the time we get here, it's just only getting worse. But I mean, we're still quarantined. We're staying inside. We're not going anywhere.
It's an interesting strategy, Cotton. I wonder if it's going to pay off for them.
Oh, well, I guess we'll find out.
We got a great episode for you guys today. We've got Jared wants to ask me about Kaylin's birthday. I just want to tease it a little bit, Jared. Sorry.
Got it.
We've got a couple guests calling in that are going to share their experiences while dating during quarantine and the coronavirus.
Have we talked to you? We haven't talked to you since we saw your appearance on Bachelor Greatest Seasons Ever. I don't think we talked about that at all.
You're right. Well, we recorded last time right before Kaylin's birthday, and that was about 2 weeks ago.
So I have two questions for you. One, how was Kaylin's birthday? What did you guys do? And two, you revealed on Greatest Seasons of All Time that you guys are not married, but you wear promise rings pretty much. So finally, we have our answer after like 9 months of speculation.
It's kind of funny, actually. I'll get into the ring and the Greatest of All Time episode in a minute because the story behind it is kind of funny. But Kaylin's birthday was good. We drove out to Las Vegas. Her parents live out there, or her grandparents live out there. So we stayed with them for about a week. And we went to like a restaurant on her birthday, which was a big treat for us. Obviously, we social distanced and wore our masks when we weren't eating. But it was a good time. She was stoked to be around her family. Her uncle lives out there as well. So it was just nice for us to be able to kind of get away. And her grandparents have like a pool and a gym and like a nice big house, which is just, it's nice to get away from the apartment where you feel like you're kind of like a mouse trapped in a cage sort of thing. I don't think that I did as well for her birthday as she did for mine. She knocked it out of the park and she kind of set the bar at like an unattainable level. But I did my best. I got her some sentimental presents, and I just made sure to focus in on her all day. And I would say that she was pretty pleased with how everything worked. I don't want to speak on her behalf, but that's just my interpretation of it. That was it. And then we had Greatest of All Time, which we recorded not too long after. Or no, I guess we recorded Greatest of All Time before because I still had my hair, and then we shaved my head before we went to Vegas for her birthday. So we recorded Greatest of All Time, and I was kind of like iffy as to whether or not I was like, I even wanted to be part of it. But at the end of the day, we were like, whatever, like what do we have to lose? There's no point in not doing it. And we were supposed to record at 7 p.m., and I like teed off with my buddies at like 3:30 p.m. in West L.A., and I was like, dude, I know that we're probably not going to be able to power through a round of golf in 3 hours, but we're going to try it anyways. And I was on the 15th hole, and I was like, it was like 6:30, and it was like a 20-minute drive. And so I was like, I just basically veered off and was sprinting through the golf course. And I had like, I had like two beers at the time too. So I like had to pee really bad. Get in the car, get back to Kaylin's apartment literally at like 7:05. And the recording was supposed to start at 7. But it started a little bit later than expected. I literally sat down, put the microphone on, and we started recording right away. And then we answered the question of the rings. And I like didn't really, I kind of expected them to ask the question. I didn't really like plan a response or anything like that. But I answered it in that way that I had never really answered it before. And after we were done recording, Kaylin like looked over at me and she goes, oh, I can't believe you actually like answered that with more of a firm answer than you have been before, where it's always like this open-ended, what is it, what isn't it sort of thing.
It's the intimidation of Chris Harrison. Chris Harrison gets the truth out of you. He should be a lawyer.
I guess it was. I was just like, I was like just so frazzled and flustered from having to like rush home so quickly, getting back to the apartment, having to like put everything on, like the microphone and everything, and like sitting down and Kaylin like being yelling angry with me for being so late. And so I was just like in a mode where I was just like, I'm just going to talk my butt off.
What is it about guys where we feel like we can just get everything done in a time span that is impossible to get things done in? Like, if we have dinner at 6, I'll get in the shower at like 5:50. If we have to leave the house by 6, it's like, all right, I'm going to shower. And she's like, it's 5:50. We have to leave in 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. And then I'm ready by 6, but like, why didn't I shower an hour earlier? I don't know what the hell's wrong with me.
I agree, but it does have a way of always working itself out, in my experience at least, where it's like, yeah, if you're going to do something, just wait till the last minute and it'll get done when it gets done. Yeah.
I mean,
and it never seems to, it's like, yeah, maybe it's let me down a couple times, but I would say it's more successful more often than
not. Yeah, majority of the time it works out. Well, I'm glad that Kaylin's birthday went well. Significant other birthdays are always high pressure. I always feel like I suck at giving Ashley gifts. I feel the same way you do. I feel like Ashley always out-gifts me because she's just so good at it. I don't know if it's a girl thing or maybe Kaylin and Ashley are just specifically really good at giving gifts. But I'm sure you did a wonderful job, Dean, because you've been doing you're a very sweet, sentimental guy. So if you gave sentimental gifts to Kaylin, I'm sure.
I think birthdays are especially hard because there's an expectation there. Whereas, like, if you're just getting gifts throughout the year for, like, random days, like, just for, like, a Wednesday, like, you come home with flowers or something like that. Like, those, I think, are more thoughtful because there is no expectation. But there's also a lot more pressure on the birthdays because it's like, okay, it's their birthday. What are you going to do for them? Are you going to equal or exceed what they did for you? Are you going to come in a little bit lower to kind of, like, recalibrate and restabilize what's going on here? So, birthdays, tricky, for sure.
Do you get random gifts for Kaylin? And if so, what are they?
Yeah, I mean, I'll like I got her some artwork to hang for her apartment. Little things throughout the week, like I'll get her flowers, or I will, like if I'm out golfing with my buddies, I'll be sure to like come home with dinner or something like that. Like small things like that, you know what I mean?
To show that you care, that makes sense. What type of flowers do you get Kaylin? Do you give her roses?
No, I'm not a big rose guy. Even before The Bachelor, I was never a big rose guy. Like, yeah, I had gotten girlfriends roses before, but I think they're just a little too cliche. I like to go with like the lilies or the tulips.
Mm-hmm. Those are very
nice. What about
you? I'm definitely not a red rose guy. I can never give Ashley a red rose just because it's too weird now. But I get, well, the thing about roses is different colors have different meaning. Like orange roses mean, I think they mean like passion and
fire.
Pink roses. The white rose, I think, is a friendship rose. So don't get a white rose.
I think yellow's friendship.
Oh, yellow's friendship. Okay, so don't get a yellow one. Whichever one it is. Let us know, Sucky Daters, at Help I Suck at Dating Instagram. Comment below. Let us know which rose is meaning for each color, because I truthfully don't know. But yeah, I like to think of different things too. I used to be a lot better. I will say after Ashley and I got married, I've been slacking. I still get her random gifts here and there, but I used to do it like on a weekly basis. And I really got to start putting more effort into that. I'm sure just like we all do. But I do want to talk about something before we have. So like Dean said, we have a panel of single people during this COVID-19 pandemic. And I'm very interested to get their perspective on dating and relationships right now, because obviously Dean and I are in relationships and we're very lucky because we're quarantined with our significant other. Or maybe not so lucky. But just kidding. There was an article, Dean, that I wanted to talk to you about that I was perusing the internet for. And it's about commitment issues, people with commitment issues. And I thought, who better to speak on this than our very own Dean Ungler, who's been very public about his commitment issues and how you're getting so much better at it, which is pretty cool. We're watching you grow in front of our eyes. But it's from a website called yourtango.com. Not sure what the website is, but regardless. And the title says 8 Facts About Dating People with Commitment Issues as Written by a Woman Who Has Them. So, Dean, I want to talk about these 8 commitment issues these 8 facts that apparently you need to know about dating someone with commitment issues, and I want to see if you agree with them or if you disagree with them. Got it?
Yeah, let's hear it. Lay it on me.
All right, so number 1, you cannot change someone else's fear of commitment. And it says if you're dating someone who has a fear of commitment with the belief that they will commit to you if you give them the time, love them enough, or show them how great relationships can be, you're setting yourself up for heartbreak. There's only one person who can change someone's commitment issues, and that is the person who has them themselves. And people only change themselves if they see a need for change.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. For me, from my experience, it was very much the same thing. I can never speak and say exactly that girls that I've dated have tried to break me out of my commitment phobia, but it wasn't until I addressed it within myself that I was really able to overcome it, if you will. So it's definitely something that you have to tackle with within yourself.
And if anybody's listening out there who feels like they're dating someone or wants to date someone who they feel like has commitment issues, then you should probably listen up, because you might see their perspective on things. Number two, people with commitment issues get portrayed as bad guys or bad girls, but we're so not. Not all of us anyway. Not wanting commitment doesn't mean we're uncaring or selfish. It doesn't mean we don't care about you or want you in our life. It just means we don't foresee wanting a commitment, and we aren't going to pretend otherwise. If we pretended we wanted that stuff just to get close to you, that would be careless, uncaring, and selfish. And there are some jerks who do that. Those are the bad guys. If we're telling you up front, if we're telling you about our commitment issues up front, we're doing it because we want you to understand what it means to date us, so you can make a decision with your eyes wide open.
I agree. And I've actually been criticized for this in the past, where I am overly expressive and communicative of my shortcomings, especially when it comes to commitment. And I like kind of leave it up to the girls to make the decision for themselves. So I think it can kind of go both ways. It's like, yeah, all you're doing is giving them information, but at the same time, like, maybe your actions say otherwise. And so they're putting stock in your actions and not so much into your words. But I do agree, like, to an extent, I think that it's obviously a lot worse to like lie about things just to kind of get what they want from you, which is typically, you know, sex, I guess you would say. But from my experience, I never thought of myself as a bad guy. I just thought that I've got a lot of issues. I still got a lot of issues. I'm still working on them, but I don't like to think that I'm a bad guy.
You're not a bad guy at all. And don't we all have issues? I remember actually before we became good friends, watching you on Bachelor in Paradise season 4 and really just not understanding why you were so villainized. Because you made mistakes, but I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast before. You were very honest with everybody. You weren't lying to anyone.
And even when that stuff was going on, I was like, I know this looks bad, but I'm just like telling everyone involved in what's going on exactly what's going on with the other person too. So they can like I almost like wanted one of them. And this is entirely like my idiocy. I was being overly communicative with both of them because I wanted one of them to dump me and essentially make my mind up for me. And that was, you know, obviously 26-year-old Dean being an idiot. I wouldn't do that anymore. I don't recommend it to other people. But I think that was where my mindset was at the time. I was like, you guys make this decision for me. The first one to dump me, I'll just end up with the other one. I don't recommend it. I'm not proud of it, but I think that's what was going through my head at the time.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Maybe not the smartest, but I totally get your point. Number three, people who fear commitment see relationships differently. Society has this obsession with committed relationships and marriage as the pinnacle of existence, and well, we don't buy it. We think there are a myriad ways to have a relationship, and it doesn't always have to look like what our parents had.
Did I write this article?
I was about to say. Because it's by some guy named Dean Unglert. I don't know. Dean Babies?
I wholeheartedly agree with that, too. As a society, and not to take away anything from marriage. I know you're married, Mark, Easton, all married, beautiful relationships. But we set the standard for any relationship that you're always working up to get married. And if you don't reach marriage, it was a failed relationship. And I think that that's just not entirely true. I think that younger generations are beginning to see that. And while I do think that marriage is a beautiful relationship between two people, it's like a great thing to have happen. I don't think it doesn't have to always be the end all be all for any relationship.
I agree. And this is coming from someone who's married. Number four, we're the best people to talk to about our commitment issues. We all have our own reasons for shying away from commitment. More often than not, it's not because we want our love life to resemble an all-you-can-eat buffet, but that isn't always the case. What we tell you might make more sense to you than you think, or maybe it won't, but it'll definitely be more accurate than what anyone else has to say about it. That's pretty generic, but I guess I agree with it.
I think a self-aware commitment phobe is an incredibly reliable source for someone that's dealing with dating issues. I have friends who are commitment phobes, but who on the surface try not to be, pretend not to be, act like they're not, speak like they're not, but they really, really are. And you don't really get anywhere in a conversation with them because they're not willing to, I guess, express what they are. They're not willing to address it. And then because of that, like, all of their advice becomes ostracized. Ostracized? Is that a word? You put an asterisk on it because you don't really, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Number five, people with commitment issues tend to make accepting partners. The thing is, since we're not planning on legally binding ourselves to anyone, we don't care all that much about some of the stuff that other people are going to get hung up on. Your messiness, bad credit, low-paying job, messy divorce, debt, horrible driving record doesn't affect most of us in any real way. Are you a cool human who maybe has a messy life? Whatever, it happens. If you're a walking disaster, it's a problem. But generally speaking, that stuff is your business, not ours.
Yeah, I agree with that too, I guess. I think I'm kind of more on the giving end of the messiness than the receiving end of the messiness, but maybe that's why I'm such a commitment phobe, is because I know that the person that's going to eventually, if it happens, commit to me, they're going to have to deal with my, you know, low credit score, messiness, laziness.
Oh, yeah.
Smelliness.
I told Ashley when we first started, before we started dating, I was like, listen, you have a total different perception of what I actually am. I am a fucking mess. And get ready for it.
Yeah.
Number six, people with a fear of commitment can still be capable of feeling incredibly deep love. We know this goes against everything anyone thinks about us, but it's true. For a lot of us, it's what scares us the most about relationships. We feel things intensely, we love wholeheartedly, and it's often bitten us in the behind. Add to that an aversion to following the fairy tale script, and loving becomes a complicated thing. But if we fall for you, it's going to be that earth-shattering, life-changing kind of love. It probably will not lead to a ring or a picket fence, but it will be its own kind of beauty.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I agree. Do you feel like you love deeply, Dean?
That's a good question. I don't really know how to answer that. I think that I have. I think that I am continuing to work on my ability to feel that way again, if I want to feel that way again. I don't think I'm there yet. But you look back on any love, and we've talked about this in quite a bit of depth on this podcast before, is like the kind of love that you felt for your high school sweetheart is never going to be able to be replicated, because it's like you were an idiot when you were 16 years old.
And it's the first time you felt those feelings. Yeah. Like the first time you feel something like that, it's very impactful.
Right. And so as time moves on, I don't know.
All right. Well, we do have our guests on the line, so we will finish the last two, 7 and 8, a little bit later in the podcast. But right now, we have our guests who are waiting on the line. And before we get to our panel of single people dating during this COVID-19 pandemic, let's take a quick break. Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Dean and Jared here, obviously, and we have a great panel that's joining us right now of, to be frank, single people, because we're a dating podcast and Dean and I are both obviously in relationships, and we want to get the perspective of people who are dating right now. And I'd love to know the world of dating, especially with everything that's going on with social distancing and quarantine and all that. So let me introduce the panel one by one. First, from California, the Bay Area, she's 20 years old. She's a senior at San Diego State University, and she is in an It's Complicated relationship, which we'll dive into, Lana, later. Hannah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, how you doing?
Good. How are you? I miss you guys.
I know. We miss you, too. Sorry, Hannah, I didn't even realize it was you until I looked at a little gallery. Hannah,
it's totally fine.
You've helped us in have you been on the podcast before?
My first time on your guys's.
Oh, well.
Yes. Yeah. And for the listeners out there, Hannah works very closely with the iHeart team, so we see her often at the iHeart Radio events.
Yeah, very fun.
We also have another person from the Bay Area, 27 years old and currently single, Emlyn. Emlyn, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, single as ever.
What a time to be single.
I know, right? And then also we wanted a guy's perspective, obviously. So also from California, he plays football at Syracuse University. He can probably beat up both Dean and myself at the same time. Ethan, how you doing, bud?
Good. Thank you for having me.
No, cool. Man. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. And then yeah. Last but certainly not least, she's 26 years old, born in Kentucky, but apparently has lived everywhere else. Plays basketball at UCLA and apparently is going to be in Space Jam 2, which is freaking awesome. Nicole, how are you?
Woo! Oh, I'm so good.
Nicole, you're in Space Jam 2?
Yes, it was the best summer of my life. Not this summer, it was last summer when we filmed. But I mean, it's incredible. People like Denzel Washington coming in on set, just wanting to check in. Michael B. Jordan, like just everybody's there, you know, just wanting to see what's up with Space Jam. So it was so much fun.
I know you probably can't talk about it, but like are the Monstars coming back? What's Bugs Bunny like in real life? Is Bill Murray making a cameo?
So the Looney Tunes, they're all drawn in. So like they're kind of like a stick figure.
I wasn't being serious about Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny's out there. But the but the Monstars are, I can't say much, but I'm a character in it, and we are Monstar-like. I'll just leave it at that. It's going to be awesome.
Well, that is awesome. I'm super excited for you, and that's like the coolest thing I've heard in a very long time. So congratulations on that. But you're obviously on Help I Suck at Dating, everybody. Thank you for being here. And we are a dating podcast, so we wanted to get your perspective on some dating during this quarantine. I want to know, first and foremost, has anybody gone on a date during quarantine right now?
I have not, unfortunately.
No? So,
nope.
So, like, all right, let's start with Emlyn. Emlyn, what is it like to be single right now and not have gone on a date for 4 months? How are you doing mentally?
I'm going to make you feel like you've never been less jealous in your life, but I lost my job. I moved home. I live at home with my parents right now in South Carolina. Times are a little tough. I'm living on an island that's 10 miles long and the average age is 65. So I haven't been on any dates, but I've been texting with guys from the past.
Oh, so you started going, have you talked to like any ex-boyfriends?
Yeah. So right before this, my boyfriend and I broke up. Interesting timing, but I have not gone back to him. I've gone back to guys prior to him. So just really filling it all out.
I mean, that's all we can do. I mean, so is anybody else talking to exes right now, seeing how we're bored as hell?
Yeah, I'm similar to Emily, and I came back from college and I've been talking to my ex from high school, and that's just because it's just the easiest. But and like especially as you got farther and deeper into quarantine and more time at home, I feel like you definitely get lonelier and like, I don't know, you fiend for like some connection.
So is it weird at all? Like Ethan, and you can obviously answer this discreetly if you want. Do you find that you're talking to an ex more because you want to talk to him or more because it's just easier?
I think it's a mixture of both because you, since you already have, like, you don't have to go through the whole talking stage again and like the whole introduction and like feel each other out type. It's just easier, you know, just to spend time without it being super awkward, as opposed to where if it was normal and you had to meet someone, you know, it's like fun, the whole chase and stuff. But now it's just easier and it's just
more simple. Nobody wants to chase because everybody wants to be 6 feet away.
I've got a question for you guys. So in Ethan and Emlyn's case, do you guys, and Nicole, I'm not sure if you're talking to an ex as well, do you address that? Are you like, look, obviously we're quarantined. Like, do you broach the topic or do you basically just kind of keep it mum's the word sort of thing?
I'm sort of just talking to them as if nothing's happened and seeing right. There's still that connection. But with my most recent ex, there's certainly not. So not really bringing up quarantine much, just seeing if they still like me.
Yeah, I'd say it's more of a don't ask, don't tell type thing.
Right.
It is what it is.
So Nicole, I saw your hand go up too. So now that you guys are talking to your ex, are you thinking about getting back together? Like, has this quarantine put different perspective on your relationships?
So my scenario is odd in the fact that I'm kind of similar to you, Emlyn, where we broke up kind of right before quarantine. And the reason being was, I mean, he was very, very serious. He's like the greatest guy if he's out there. But he, like, it was kind of went down to marriage type of talk, and I just wasn't really ready. And so now, of course, through quarantine, you're like, oh my gosh, I wish. But I then, though, started talking to this other guy throughout this process. And I was actually going to go on a date with him, but he lives in a different state. And I was going to fly to see him. And literally, like, 2 days right before my flight, he tested positive. He plays football, and he tested positive for COVID. So then that put a damper on things. So I almost thought, I'm like, is that like a timing thing? Like, this just shouldn't work out. Like, you know, so it's just a lot of stuff going on, obviously. But being sick with COVID kind of, you know, strike one.
Yeah, you don't want to date someone who's testing positive for COVID right now. So you're going to fly out to see this guy. So did you know this person beforehand?
Yeah, sort of. Like, in high school, we have like a bunch of mutual friends that his cousins went to my high school. Like, I had seen him around, and like, I knew he wasn't some random stranger. Like, I just struck up a conversation with, but I didn't know him that well. So yeah, it was kind of like, we've been talking for a while, and it's like, do we want something to happen here? Like, if not, I'm not doing anything. You're not doing anything. Let's get this moving. So we tried, but then screeching halt.
Obviously.
Well, let me ask you this. If you do, guys, if you plan on meeting up with him at any point, are you going to require him to show you like a failed COVID test?
I trust him. He was telling me, he's like, Nicole, my immune system is so good. Trust me. I'm like, okay, I got COVID. But he was asymptomatic. And so I think like after 2 weeks you're asymptomatic, then you're good to go. Like, even you can still test positive and just be fine. So I guess I just cross my fingers and hope that he's okay. But yeah, I wouldn't. I'm pretty laissez-faire.
What about the rest of you guys? If you were to go on a date in person, would you require the person to show you like a failed COVID test?
Maybe, no. But probably not.
you're just like, screw it. We're gonna take the chances.
Well, I already had it. So I think that I'm like not as scared about it right now. Since
really?
I already got it over with.
Yeah. Were you sick, Hannah?
Yeah, so I was studying abroad earlier this year, and I got sent home early from my program, and I got home mid-March. And then like 2 days after I came home, got a fever, and then went to the doctor and tested positive.
How sick did you get? Because you're very young.
Yeah, I feel lucky because I didn't feel that sick. I mean, I had a fever for maybe 2 days. Mm-hmm. The worst thing was like my headache, and I had weird chest pain. Like, it was pretty hard to breathe. But other than that, it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be, which was kind of nice.
That is lucky. I mean, it's just such a weird time because obviously we talk about like the vulnerable population, and like, Emily, you were talking about how you're living with your parents right now. So like, knock on wood, statistically speaking, like, nobody here would have to hopefully worry about it too much if they ended up getting it. But you'd be worried about passing it on to your parents, grandparents, so on and so forth. But I also want to talk about, has anybody been on dating apps during this time? Are you guys just like swiping left and right constantly? Because I feel like, honestly, if I was single right now, I'd be so bored out of my mind that I would be on every dating app there is.
I downloaded Hinge for a hot second, and I tried that out, and I thought, you know, maybe something could happen, because I'd never done it before, because I've been in a relationship for a while. And go on there and I'll talk, and I'm just like, it's not worth it. And then I'll delete it. And then maybe a few weeks will pass, I'll upload it, download it again, and I just delete it. So yeah, it's just a circle round and round.
Is anybody else on dating apps?
Yeah, I'm on Raya, and I resort to it when I get bored, but I feel like the conversation's just a little surface level. So that's why I keep resorting back to my past, because those guys are easier to talk to.
Yeah, when I first got back, I was like, oh man, I need to get a Tinder. So I hopped on Tinder. And then, but yeah, some of that, after like a week, like, it gets pretty boring. So then, yeah, I stopped.
Well, it's got to be tough because dating apps are tough in general, because most of the time you talk to someone for so long and you guys either end up not meeting up, or it takes like 2 weeks of conversation for someone to meet up. But now, are you going to really meet up with anybody? Or if you guys do, is it going to be like, are you going to wear masks? Like, if you guys go on dates right now, would you go on would you meet up at a restaurant with someone, or would you rather have a social distance date, stay 6 feet away, wear masks, so on and so forth?
No, I think I'd still like go to, I'd go to their house and pick them up. I'd be as comfortable as they are. So if they want to stay 6 feet apart, like that's fine. But if they're comfortable, like going in the same car, then I would be fine with it.
That's probably the same approach I would take too. It is funny, yeah, the whole dating app thing, because it's like the whole purpose, in my opinion, and it sounds like you guys kind of would agree with this too, is the whole purpose of being on a dating app is to like start talking to someone, but then if you're interested, immediately meet them in person to see if there's like a right, deeper connection. And obviously you're not really, you are able to do that, but it's still a little bit trickier nowadays. So it's like, as right, entertaining as a dating app might be, I can understand why you guys would be more interested in talking to people that you already know, because it's just like, you've already kind of bridged that gap and you don't have to go through the whole semantics of where are you from, where'd you grow up, all those types of things. So I see where you're coming from.
Definitely.
I guess we can stick to like until this whole thing starts fading away. But what are your like, what are your guys' thoughts on kissing, like being intimate right now?
Same thing. Just go with whatever the other person's most comfortable with. Or what do you think?
The reason I ask this is because as someone who's like quarantined with my like my significant other that doesn't have to worry about this, like I freak out when someone walks past me on the sidewalk. Now, granted, I might be a little bit of a hypochondriac, but that's just me. But like dating, I'd be really nervous. And it sounds stupid. I wish I could be more laissez-faire like you, Nicole, but I'm just not. And I want to get your thoughts about it, like, because this is a real thing for you guys that you have to think about.
I mean, if you had like already spent a lot of time with them, I think that the more time you spend, the more comfortable you'll get with the person. And also I would need to be really attracted to them and really like into them and create like more of a connection. I feel like it really diminishes the hookup culture. Like you don't want to just go around and like get with anyone because that poses a real risk to both of you guys. So now it's really like, really made more important like actually how you feel about the other person, and you know, like if you've gone out with them, spent time with them, then I'd feel more comfortable. So yeah, I feel like it's definitely made the intimacy more important.
What do you think it's going to be like after this is all over, like once let's say America is like, okay, everything's perfectly fine come like August 1st, do you think everyone's gonna like be hitting the bars hard trying to hook up with as many people as possible, or is it going to be one of those things where it's going to be less of a priority, do you think? Like, what do you think it's going to be like, I guess?
Honestly, this has kind of been my dream come true for dating, maybe because I'm 27, but I've kind of slowed my role on the hookup culture at late night at bars. So I kind of like having an excuse not to kiss on the first date because A, it makes me look a little harder to get, but B, I don't want to get my parents sick living with them. But I've always been a big fan of day dates and meeting up outside and going to have like a, you know, wine in the park or a walk around the city or whatever. So this is kind of my dream come true. I don't know if that's attractive to any guys, but hopefully to someone out there.
I think to your credit too, there's less of an expectation after a day date. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah, so that's always a good thing too. What about the rest of you guys? Do you think is it gonna motivate you to like go to the bars and hook up with more people, or is it kind of and again, this is like assuming everything is back to normal, because I feel like people are gonna be like these horny bunny rabbits that are finally let out of their cages and they just want to go around and hump anything they possibly
horny
can.
Bunny,
I
rabbits?
Could be wrong. Bunny rabbits are notoriously horny creatures. God. I'm just saying, guys after COVID might be the same way.
I'd have to say, Emily and I feel like we're spirit animals. I'm the same way. I'm actually at my parents' house right now. I am in Nashville, Tennessee, and I've been them with a bunch, like probably like 2 or 3 months now. Like I've been back and forth to LA and here. And it's different, like even in the South, we have a house in Kentucky as well. And like, it's just not like some people, it's like nothing ever happened. I mean, you're not even required to wear masks. Like almost, yeah, you go to the grocery, everything's fine. People are still close in proximity talking. But I think it just depends on who you are for after the fact of like, if you are like this horny bunny rabbit, like maybe. But I think some people just, yeah, how comfortable they are. Like if they want to, they will. But if they're still scared and kind of more of a safe person, then they'll kind of dial it back like me and Emily. But who knows?
Ethan, what about you?
Hopefully I'm going, we'll have classes in the fall for college. So I think,
yeah,
there'll be a lot of people, you know, once they go back to school, will be like that. Personally, I don't think that's not the main reason why I'm like looking forward to going back to school. Like, I'm just excited to see like people and socially interact, but for sure there will be a lot of people more motivated to go out more than maybe they would have last year, purely to get with girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Hannah, what do you think?
I mean, personally, I feel like this whole quarantine has made me really antisocial. Like, I don't see myself really wanting to even like go out, and I don't know. I feel like I just forgot how to talk to people and be social also. But I think in a general sense, if we're speaking like overall, I think people might be really excited to just be around people again and go crazy. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, before you guys go, I do want to ask you some like rapid fire questions. Just like quick little nuggets. Can be quick answers. I'll ask quick questions. Why don't we do Emlyn, Nicole, Hannah, and then Ethan. And so we'll go in that order, just so we can like, be somewhat organized as best as we can be over Zoom. All right, ready? All right, so would you guys rather go on a first date, dinner or drinks?
Drinks.
Dinner.
Drinks.
Dinner.
Huh, there we go. Who should ask somebody on the first date, guy or girl, or it doesn't matter?
Yeah, guy.
Guy.
Yeah, guy.
Who should pay for a
girl.
First date?
I'm going...
Oh, Dean, yeah. Why girl. Am I forgetting to include Dean in this? You say girl? Girl should ask
for... Yeah, for both of those questions.
Who should pay for the first date, guy, girl, doesn't matter?
Guy.
100% the guy.
Yeah. Guy, I guess. Got to the guy.
I think whoever asks the person on the date should pay.
Ooh, all right. I like it. Dean coming with fire. Would you rather go... meet someone on like Instagram. What would your opening... How do you get noticed on Instagram? Does that make sense? Like, you like somebody that's cute. You see their pictures. What do you do? Do you like their picture? Do you comment their picture? Do you DM them? What's your first move?
That's tricky. I've been kind of doing that lately where I say I have a crush on a guy or I like the way they look. I'll try to like stalk their pictures and get some intel, something funny. Like, I don't like these cheesy random pickup lines. Like, I'm going to pretend like, I don't know, I can swoop them off their feet somehow. But like, I don't know. You just got to kind of get to know them even though they have no idea who you are. But I want to follow first, make sure they follow back if I'm going after them, and then a DM.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I'd just follow them on Instagram and hope that I like catch their attention. But I don't know, I can't ever see I've never like DM'd someone being like, hey, I think you're really attractive or anything like that. I'm kind of like shy in that way. So maybe just like follow them, like a couple of their recent pictures, see if that works.
Okay, play it slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never really had much success with the DMs. I'm not going to lie. I don't, maybe it's just the way I come off, or maybe just my opening lines are very good, so maybe like a like. I don't know. I've never really had much success like starting off with social media to begin with.
Well, what's your opening line? Because now I'm curious.
Yeah, Ethan.
Well, like, if you think a girl is like, you know, good looking, you could tell her, but then you just kind of look plain or boring. So then I've tried jokes, but those usually, then I just come off looking like an idiot. So I don't know, maybe I just need more variety, but I don't do too well when I start off with Instagram.
There's always that, one of the most often ones I receive is like someone will like send an emoji of a dog and then the text would be like, Baxter, get back here. Sorry, he's always running away from me or something like that.
That's pretty funny.
But I've seen that one too many times. Our friend Nick has always encouraged people that find someone attractive on Instagram to like scroll to an older pic, maybe like a year or two old, send that pic to them and be like, if there's like a dog in the picture, be like, oh, you have a really cute dog or like something along those lines. So,
yeah.
So that way they know that you're going far enough back and it's still personal enough.
See, that sounds creepy. That sounds creepy to me.
I mean, let's all be honest with ourselves. Whenever we find someone attractive on Instagram that we want to potentially date, we definitely creep pretty far. So it's, you know,
I mean, this is very true.
Yeah.
So let's pretend that we're all back to normal. You guys are out at bars. What is something somebody can do to get your attention? If they say, like, they walk over to you, what is something that they can do where you think to yourself, okay, I like this person?
Gosh, I don't know. Maybe if I saw them across the bar, what would I do? I don't know. Maybe if they're just giving me the eye where it's like, okay, like they're not a creep, but it's just like a confident smile. And then they come up and then just try to, I don't know. They have to play it cool where they're normal, but I know they're not trying too hard.
Okay.
Oh gosh. I don't even know. I think maybe if they would like approach me and like offer to buy me a drink. Like, I don't know. I feel like I can't get a good gauge on people, especially at bars, like if I'm into them or not. I would have to like talk to them. So definitely if someone would come up to me and just start a conversation.
Ethan, what would, like, do you use an opening line when you approach a girl at a bar, or do you try to play it cool and just walk up and introduce yourself?
Yeah, I can like try to play it cool. That's not always going to work though, because you might meet a girl that's not looking for a cool guy. Maybe she's more goofy or like, you know, spunky. No, I would like just like a girl that's like really comfortable with just conversation and like having a good time, especially if you're at a bar. Like if she's like, you know, if you can like laugh and tell a joke or she's funny, like, that would catch my attention.
The hard thing about a guy playing it cool at a bar is if there's a girl that you are like interested in or you think is cute, by playing hard to get at a bar, there's going to be like 20 other guys that are not playing hard to get that are going to like find a way to swoop in and circumvent your advances in any sort of way. So it's like kind of tricky for a guy, I feel like.
Most guys at bars don't have any shame.
Right. Right. And so for Ethan, people like Ethan, and I'm the same way too. Like, I'd rather just like play it cool. It's like by playing it cool, you're almost like not even putting yourself in the game. You know what I mean? So it's like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, but I don't know.
Yeah. If you're playing it cool, you got to hope that they have a lot of interest in you. Cause if they don't, then you're not even shooting your shot. Like, you know?
All right. Last two questions. What is the best physical feature of somebody that you're interested in? For example, like, what do you like most physically?
And it can't be a smile, because no one can see smiles for the next 6 months anyway.
Mask, you know?
I'm tall. I'm 6 feet, like 6'1"-ish. I mean, if I want to wear heels, like, I'm like, all these small guys are always coming up. I'm like, homeboy, like, I'm looking down on you. This isn't going to work. And like, my family, I mean, my little brother is 7'2". My dad's 6'9". Other brother's 6'9". Like, he is going to feel
like...
Wait,
you have a 7'2" brother?
Yeah, like, we're all basketball Jesus. Players. Like, he was on the Knicks. Like, we're all, like, I mean, I just, like, height is important. I love good eyes, though, of course, too. But if I can't see your eyes because they're way down there, it's just not going to work.
Okay, it makes sense now why you're in Space Jam 2. Got it.
Yeah. I would say height, too, but also build, like, big guys. That's what I first notice in a guy, if they're, like,
Wait,
big.
So you like big muscles?
Yeah, like not necessarily big muscles. Like, I kind of like an extra like padding on guys sometimes. Like, I don't know. I just want
so
to,
Hannah,
like, I
you
like
more
skinny guys.
So you would you rather have like a dad bod? Like, because I'm confused. Are you talking about like The Rock, or are you talking about like just like a guy who's got like a few extra
Seth
pounds?
Rogen.
You know?
Like, a few extra pounds doesn't bother me. I don't hate dad bods, but definitely just like big muscles. Yeah. I guess. I just like the look of someone being bigger rather than skinny, because then I feel like I can't even be attracted to you, honestly.
All right.
Yeah.
Ethan, what about you? And when you see a girl, what do you find attractive?
Oh, definitely. You look at face first, but then specifically, like, I definitely say eyes and teeth, or like smile.
We said no smile, man. There's
no,
you got the
I know.
Masks
I know
on.
That. I know. That's why. So I guess eyes then. Yeah, height's not that important. I mean, like 5'4", 5'3" probably would be a cutoff. Yeah, that's what I'd say. Face first, though.
Dean, what about you?
Boobs for sure.
Total boobs. Big boobs. Big boobs guy over there.
No, I'm just kidding. Come on, man. I would say smile, too. I'm in the same camp as Ethan. I know that's obviously not allowed to be an answer because of the mask situation, but smile eyes, you know. What about you?
I don't know. I guess it's so cliche, eyes. You know? Yeah, eyes. Yeah. I mean, boobs are always a great answer, but, you know, definitely eyes. But
like a high butt. A high butt is good.
I don't know what a high butt is, but yes, definitely.
Sounds good to me.
All right, hey, guys, thank you so much for being part of the panel with us. We appreciate you. Good luck with dating during quarantine. Good luck rekindling with all your exes, whether that's going to be a thing even post-quarantine or not. But we wish you best of luck. Thank you for sharing your experiences, and Godspeed.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Help, I suck at daters. We just finished up our panel. That was pretty good. Your boobs joke fell pretty flat, but other than that, I thought it went really well.
Apparently, I'm not allowed to like boobs. Apparently, that's a frowned upon thing. The reason my joke didn't get a laugh was because of the connection error, the connectivity issues that we're having here. So
I agree. I laughed, but apparently nobody else did. I don't know what the hell happened. I thought it was really funny.
Listen, we're genetically programmed to appreciate a good set of boobs.
Yeah. I mean, it's just science. I mean, it was cool to get perspective of single people dating during this time. Because, man, that's insane. I would, like I was saying when they were on, dude, I would be terrified. I'm terrified now. And I don't have to go near anybody. Like, I was walking Lois earlier today, and there was a guy jogging on my side of the sidewalk, and he was like sprinting. And so, like, I kind of got flustered because I wasn't near anybody, so I had my mask underneath my chin. So I, like, was trying to pull Lois back and then put my mask over my chin. And all the dude had to do was, like, go in the street for a second. No one was coming, and just run 6 feet away from me. But he literally ran right past me, no mask, like 2 feet away. And it's fine, but, like, in my head, I'm like, that guy got way too freaking close. And so the idea, if I was single, of like going on social distancing dates and having to abide by social distancing rules, I don't know. It's crazy. It's a crazy world we're living in right now.
Yeah, I think we're both fortunate in the fact that we don't have to put ourselves in the situation of having to go on dates, especially during this time. We're lucky in that sense. Some of us aren't so lucky, but... yeah, I guess I don't know how I would handle it. I think I would be kind of more along the lines of how Ethan was saying he's handling it, where he's like, he's as comfortable as the other person is going to be. So like if the other person wants to stay 6 feet apart the whole time, he'll do that. If the other person is comfortable and obviously they're both healthy with being a little bit closer than that, then he'll do that as well. So I respected his answers for the most part.
Yeah, I respect it too. Again, I would just be worried about like being asymptomatic and passing it on to, you know, older people, but like at some point, you know, like what are you supposed to do? Your mental health is a big part of life, and you can't just go on not, you know, exploring different facets of being in a relationship. So I don't know, but I'm glad they came on. It was really interesting. It was very fascinating, and just something we don't have to deal with. So,
Jared, give us an update on your life, man. I feel like we haven't really heard much from you lately.
What's happening in my life? Well, we're back in LA. We're back at the apartment. We flew back last week and wore our masks the entire time. Everybody was still, it was you know, nerve-wracking, at least for me, being in an airport, you know, surrounded by 100 people, and you know, most people are adhering to social distancing and pretty much everybody's wearing masks, but you always have like those outliers that are just standing like 3 feet away from you, and it's like, what are you doing? Just back up, you know. So, and then you have like those people too that are like kind of taking off their masks here and there. And I don't know, but it's good being back in LA. I definitely miss the East Coast, but it's nice having like adulthood back, being in our own place with our own car, feeling like adults once again. Cause, you know, being at the in-laws for so long, you just get used to being surrounded by parents. And, you know, I never felt like I was walking on eggshells, but you always want to be respectful and not kind of. I never wanted to make my presence known. For example, I would never like go into the living room and just put whatever the hell I wanted on TV. So it's nice being able to do that now. But things are good. Ashley and I are doing well. I do think there is some fatigue with quarantine, if I'm being honest, within our relationship. Not a bad thing, but I do think that we've spent so much time together that while there's no problems in our relationship, I do find ourselves slipping into friendship more and more and more. And I know I've talked about that on the podcast before, and that is an issue that does take effort because, you know, when you spend so much time with someone, I don't know if you're experiencing this with Kaylin yet, but it's, you know, Ashley and I can find myself, we're hanging out more without like touching or cuddling and kissing as much, you know, even though we still do that a lot, it's just kind of, I don't know. I think spending so much time with someone now, it's just, we're getting like back into friendship almost, which sounds dramatic. And I don't mean it. I don't want people to be like, oh, they're only friends. And it's like, no. We kiss each other. We cuddle all the time. We're very intimate with each other, but,
I mean, I see where you're saying. I see where you're coming from. I'm sorry. I don't want my silence to be misconstrued as judgment.
Yeah.
I see exactly where you're coming from. It makes a lot of sense where it's like you're spending more time together now than you probably ever have together. And you guys have already up to this point spent a crap load of time together. But now it's like day in, day out, 24/7 for the past 3 months. But I think it's good that you guys are still able to like, you know, obviously your and Ashley's relationship was kind of based around friendship from the start, and so it's obviously you guys were able to bring it to more romantic level later on, but to know that you still have the friendship aspect is, I think it's good for the longevity of the relationship. If you're quarantined with a significant other right now and you're not doing that, that's kind of almost like a negative sign where it's like, oh, there's the only part of the relationship is like romantic and our friendship isn't really able to blossom from here. Like that's kind of a red flag, but the fact that you guys aren't doing that and that it is staying friendly and like, you know, joke. I don't know to what extent, but I think it's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing too, but I think it'll also be a good thing once, hopefully things start winding down and we get back to normalcy a little bit where we do get a little distance within each other, just so, you know, the heart, distance makes the heart grow fond a little bit. So it'll be nice to kind of like miss her. You know, we don't miss each other anymore, just because we're with each other 24/7. So that would be nice.
And I'm in that same camp entirely with you too. Like I'm looking forward to my next van adventure where, you know, being reunited after a month of separation would be like exciting.
Yeah, totally. Let's do one email and then I'm going to read the last two commitment issue facts to sum that up. And then we'll get going.
Sweet. I'll read this email. Real quick.
Which one are you going to choose?
Just give me a minute. I'll just pull up the first one.
All right, great, because that's from Anonymous, and our favorites are always from Anonymous because they're usually juicier.
Yes. Okay, so we have an email from Anonymous, and actually, well, since we have Mark in this Zoom call, perhaps he would be willing to take the dive and read that email for us.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen. What a nice treat.
Well, the treat is really all ours. You have a very wonderful voice,
ears.
Mark.
Thank you. I'm closing the door so I can give this the attention it deserves. All right. You want the anonymous one? Here we go. I reached out to my ex about a year ago on social media. We did it for 6 years and broke up in 2006. Since then, we've both moved on, married with two kids. It's not that I wanted to get back with him, but I wanted closure. After I graduated college and both moved back to the Bay Area, he suddenly distanced himself, continuously lied to me, and I'm pretty sure he cheated on me, but he's never admitted it. I continuously asked, what did I do wrong? I put the blame on myself and couldn't let it go all these years. I could go on and on about the conversation, but after chatting and catching up, I pretty much got all the answers I needed. He was glad I reached out because he also wanted to apologize for how things ended. If there was anyone in the world you could call for closure, who would it be? Has a lack of closure ever hindered your future relationships?
I guess I don't understand the whole timeline for her here. So she dated this guy for six years.
I think that's immaterial. I think she's saying this closure really helped her move on. And she's saying, what about you guys? Have you ever been in a similar experience?
Damn, immaterial. That's a great word.
That's why he reads the emails.
Not really
very smart man.
She's not really looking for advice. She's just kind of more inquiring about whether we've experienced something similar.
Right.
I mean, it's a great question. One.
I think we've talked about it in the past is my only issue, not issue, but like closure is a very real thing. And I think we even might have talked about it as recent as last week or the week before it, where we both experienced not having the full closure that we wanted, right?
Is it a real thing? Is closure a real thing? Or is it just time heals old wounds?
No, I think it's closure 100%.
Well, okay, so have you experienced getting closure? Because I forget if we've ever talked about that.
Maybe we haven't. Maybe I've just thought about it or something and I've misconstrued it as an actual conversation. I mean, I've experienced closure personally where, and I'm not going to name names here, but I dated someone for, you know, a good amount of time, whatever it might be. And that relationship came to a head and ended. And I thought that by moving on to another relationship, I would get the closure that I needed and just close the door on that one, start the beginning of this relationship, move on and be happy with it. But while I was in that new relationship, I was still sometimes thinking about the old relationship. And it wasn't until that I was able to kind of readdress things with that relationship that I realized that this was the closure that I needed. I realized that it's not something that I want, and I was able to move forward from there. So I think in my experience, at least, closure is a real thing where I had to go back and confirm for myself that it wasn't what it was. Was it whether it was something for me, something not for me? But I wouldn't be able to really be happy with a new relationship until I went back and decided and figured out what that was. You know what I mean?
No, that's a good point. So is there anybody now that you would want to talk to for closure, or do you feel like you're good?
I think honestly, thank you for asking that question. I think one of the big reasons why I've been able to kind of come into my own as someone that's comfortable being in a relationship now is because I have the closure through and through in all my, you know, past relationships. And I think that maybe like part of the reason why I was never really that great at dating before was because I was always kind of like holding on to something else in my past. But now I'm not that way. And so I'm able to fully dive into this relationship that I'm in now. I think. And that's my like armchair diagnosis of myself and closure, you know? Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's nobody that I'd reach out to. I would say that definitely lack of closure has hindered relationships for me in the past. There was one specific relationship where I never got like, it never felt like it was over. And that definitely hindered other relationships. I remember I started dating somebody else while I was still hung up on my ex. And I broke it up with her, telling her that I just wasn't over my ex. And so I think I similar to you, I've gotten closure since hand, that has really helped, because we kind of revisited the relationship. And then I think we both realized that we grew apart and became, you know, very different people than we were, when we dated. And so I think, I do think closure is a real thing, but I also do believe in that time heals all wounds, you know, because sometimes you don't get the closure you want, but then you move on and you find somebody that you want to be with. And then as time progresses, you just start separating yourself from that old relationship, and the part of your heart that was attached to it, you know, kind of grows smaller and smaller. But no, I don't think there's anybody I would reach out to now, obviously.
But you think closure is a real thing?
I do think it is a real thing, but I don't think you get it in every relationship. And I also would say that just because you don't have it doesn't mean that you can't move on.
I like tentatively disagree with you. I think that it's hard to move on without ever getting that closure fully. But I do agree that maybe there's like varying degrees of closure. Maybe there's like different parts of a relationship that you need closure from that you don't necessarily need closure from to move on to the next one. I think there might be like different parts, different avenues of closure that you could be seeking that don't necessarily play into your next relationship as much.
And I guess it depends on the intensity of the relationship. Because if it's like a fling, I guess maybe I'm thinking more of like relationships in the past that haven't lasted that long. So maybe I didn't need as much closure as I did need with the relationship that lasted 4 years. So I guess it really depends on the relationship. That would be my guess.
Yeah, and I guess when I think about closure, I think about them being like long-term relationships.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's a good point. All right, let me read these last two, and then we'll get the hell out of here. Mark, thanks so much for the cameo. Really appreciate it. You wonderful man, you. All right. So as I was reading before in the intro of the podcast, 8 facts about dating people with commitment issues as written by a woman who has them. And then I wanted to get Dean's perspective because he's been very open about his commitment issues, just like I have. But I do feel that Dean, was a little bit worse with commitment issues. My wife just walked in and says that I don't have any commitment issues. Well, I don't have any commitment issues with you, but I've had commitment issues in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't strike me as that.
Well, you know, I told you, I'm like the Wizard of Oz. I put on this facade, and then behind the curtain, I'm just a complete hot mess.
I never would have think of you as somebody who would be like, I'm too scared to make her my girlfriend. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know, actually. Okay. I guess somewhere in between.
Well, we're recording.
Okay, love you, bye.
Love you, bye. Okay, bye-bye. That's what happens when you have to record virtually at home during this time. Your wife just walks in and starts talking to you. Okay, number 7. Again, Dean, agree or disagree. If you want to keep someone with commitment issues, let them be free. Someone once told me that some people are like jets and others are like airports. Jets have to have freedom in order to do what they do best, and airports need to be grounded and secure. And the only way the two can work together is if the airport doesn't try to keep the jet out of the skies, and the jet makes sure the airport knows it's coming back. If you want your partner with commitment issues to find a home in you, give them the space to fly.
See, that's a good advice. I don't really have much to add to that. That was a very nice analogy that they used with the airports and the jets. I think one of the reasons that Caitlin and I are able to work so well together is because she knows that I'm a jet and I sometimes need to fly, and she gives me that ability to fly as often as I want to and need to.
And she gives you that runway to land anytime you need.
Yeah, she's a wonderful, wonderful human being. Whereas maybe in past relationships, I felt a little bit more like I was trying to be grounded more than I had wanted to be. As Ashley's maneuvering Jared's computer.
Ruining everything right now.
It's not coming, your video. It's not ruining your mic. It's not ruining your volume.
It's okay, Ashley.
We're only working.
It's not like Jared's coming into you while you record one of your podcasts and messing things up.
Oh, I would be... She would give me such an evil eye if I tried to walk in the room.
What a double standard. How unbelievable.
Unfreaking believable. Not to mention I have to record in her glam room. Do you believe this? I have a painting of a pig with some sort of flowers on top of her on its head.
Why don't you record from the man cave?
It's not as good as Wi-Fi. Plus, the lighting's better in this room.
Oh my gosh.
I do love that analogy though between the jet and the airport. I think that's pretty cool. But my only question for someone out there who's listening to this right now, who is trying to be with someone with commitment issues, should they not press? Should they just let them be free? Because doesn't that That's scary.
I think I can only speak from my experience. And with Kaylin and I think it's been a very clear from the beginning that I'm someone that likes to kind of go out for a little bit and then fly back in. You know what I mean? So it's like, as long as that precedent and expectation is set, I think that it can lead to good things. It's different if it like you promise and say you're going to be this person, like an airport, and then after a year you want to be a jet for a little bit, you know what I mean? So as long as there's maybe consistency and there's an understanding about what's going to happen, I think that's the most important thing.
I agree with you. I think it's a very healthy relationship if you're able to do this, you know, have one person be a jet and the other person be an airport. Having said that, I feel like it's a lot easier said than done. Number 8, last one. If someone with a fear of commitment asks you for a commitment, it means they're a goner. We've fallen under your spell, we've found a reason to change, and we're done for, possibly for the long haul. This is not a drill, lock that thing down, post haste. Wait, if someone with a fear of commitment asks you for a commitment, it means they're a goner.
Like they're done for, they're done in, you did it to them, you're the reason. That's how I am interpreting it.
No, that makes sense. Well, there we go. So like, Kaylin, I feel like that's Kaylin for you.
Sure.
That's so sweet.
I guess, yeah.
I like it.
You want me to expand?
I think that's really sweet. So we can end the podcast on a very sweet note that, you know, and now Dean, who, you know, has admitted to having commitment issues in the past, just like we all have, is a little bit more public. Now he wants to commit. He's the one asking Caitlin to commit to him, which means he's a goner. which means he's succumbed. He's landed for right now.
I suppose. So it's a weird world we live in, and it only gets weirder every single day. And it's going to be a little bit weirder next week when you guys tune in to Help I Suck at Dating, where maybe we'll suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.